This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Sex worker, and yes, it does. In girls, biblical sense, I am beyond repentance. Bang hooker, sex worker, wench, found metamine. Listen up close while I take it backwards. Okay, begins the gallus in me, which I want. I'm not a prostitute. Sex workers, but I can give you what you want. Sex worker, damn it. Go
get some. You've tuned in to the Vixen Hour. Sex workers setting the record straight on Australia's first gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9. Red Umbrella Radio.
That's right, you have tuned into the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. The Vixen Hour is your weekly radio show that explores life, issues and the world from a sex worker's perspective. This is your opportunity to challenge the prejudice and stereotypes that you may have about sex workers and hear from the actual voices of sex workers ourselves. We are Out Loud and Proud. This is the only community radio program in the world that is both publicly broadcasted and available online that is 100% produced and presented by sex workers. Workers, turn it up.
All discussions presented on Vixen Hour are made in the interests of community information and are not intended to induce any individual to seek employment in the sex industry. For more information in this area, we recommend individuals to get in contact with their local sex work organisation. The Vixen Hour. Everyone has an opinion about sex work. Make yours an informed one.
Joy 94.9.
If you would like to interact with the program at any point, you can do so by sending us a text message on 0427 569 949. That's 0427 Joy 949. Sending us an email at onair@joy.org.au or giving Robert at the front desk a call on 1300 Joy 949. That's 1300 569 949. We would love to hear from you. Tonight is going to be an awesome and packed show, really interesting, thick and meaty topic. And the topic we are going to focus on for tonight's show is sex work and drug use. Now, we're going to do a little disclaimer that, you know, any conversation that we have here shouldn't be construed as condoning or condemning drug use, that we are having these conversations for the benefit of community information to build a greater understanding of these quite often not discussed issues. And joining me in the studio tonight, I'm joined by two fabulous co-hosts. The first one is Rani. Hello, Rani.
Hey, Christian.
It's a pleasure to have you in the studio again.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be back.
How have you been?
Good, good.
Yay. And also joining us in the studio is a brand new co-host, Chloe.
Hi. How's it going?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm very well. A bit nervous, but...
Oh, look, we will be as gentle as possible.
Promise it doesn't hurt.
We'll also be introducing a new segment during tonight's show, and that is sex work in the news. Just recognising that we don't really do news and current affairs discussions during the Vixen Hour, and a couple of stories have happened during the week that I thought would be, tonight might be a really good opportunity to talk about those. So I thought we would bring those up. But other than that, we will be talking about sex work and drug use later the show. To start off, as we do every time we have a new co-host in the Vixen Hour, we try to get to know them a bit more. So, Chloe, seeing this is, as this is your first time.
Well, first time on radio.
Well, how would you, well, look, we always try to humanise the voice behind who is a sex worker. So, Chloe, how would you introduce yourself?
Okay. What, my intro that I give? Or, no, okay, yeah. I figure sex work isn't my main income. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do it sort of part-time, but to me sex work is a way to have a lifestyle that's a little bit better than without it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I've done parlour work, escort work. Yeah, I haven't done it all, but yeah.
And how long have you been doing sex work for?
Probably about 10 years now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I've aged over time, but like wine, I've got better.
Uh-huh. Fantastic. And a question that we do ask every sex worker that comes on the show is, you know, recognizing that one definition isn't sort of, it's pretty problematic to apply one definition to all sex workers because everybody experiences sex work very differently. So for you personally, how would you define what sex work is?
Okay, to me, sex work is getting paid mm-hmm. for being intimate, being a little bit personal and private. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily penetration. Mm-hmm. In fact, some of the best things don't involve penetration.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is for me.
Yeah. So for people who aren't sex workers,
yeah.
they wouldn't know what intimacy without penetration that would look like in a yeah. service. So typically if we're steering away from penetration, what does a service usually entail for you?
You know, it's a conversation, it's lots of tender, passionate kind of stuff. It's just making someone feel a little bit special.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Everybody likes to have that human touch, I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's how it is for me anyway.
Mm. Yeah. And I guess you've done sex work for a number of years now.
Mm-hmm.
Has your understanding of sex work changed over that time? Do you learn something new every day? How's it been for you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I learn something new every time I work. It's changed in the sense of, I think that, you know, in the beginning I thought it was very much, I guess, stereotypes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I guess over time it just, there's no stereotype with sex work.
Yeah.
And the sex workers themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're very vast mob.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is exactly what our show is all about. So the reason why sex workers have put together a community radio program is to challenge those stereotypes and build a stronger understanding in the community of what sex work is and who sex workers are. If you would like to stay connected to the Vixen Hour all throughout the week, you can do so by liking us on Facebook at facebook.com/sexworkerradio, or you can follow us on Twitter at Vixen Hour. Otherwise, we would love to hear from you. You can text in on 0427 569 949, or send us an email at onair@joy.org.au. We've got to go to some messages, but we'll be right back with our brand new segment, Sex Work in the News, here on the Vixen Hour, here on Joy 94.9.
I'm Dr. Brooke Mignanti, formerly known as Belle du Jour, and you're listening to the Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
You are on the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. We're going to go to a segment now. I thought it might be a good opportunity to talk about, I guess, some topical things that have happened in the past week in the news. So here's our brand new segment. There is a bit of a trigger warning. It does discuss issues of, I guess, rape and murder, just to let you know that's coming up. But yeah, here's this week's edition of Sex Work News.
Now on Joy 94.9, a look at the issues that matter to the sex worker community from home and abroad. Thanks to the Vixen Hour, here is tonight's edition of the Sex Work News.
The husband of murdered rape victim Jill Maher has hit out at the sentence handed down to her killer, Adrian Bailey, saying his wife would still be alive if the justice system had taken the serial sex offender off the street. Bailey pleaded guilty to the fatal attack on the 29-year-old ABC staffer as she headed home from a night out in the Melbourne suburb of Brunswick last September. The 41-year-old, who has a long history of violent attacks on women, was sentenced to life for the murder and 15 years for what the judge described as a savage, violent rape of the worst kind. Despite his obvious grief, Ma has made statements regarding the treatment of sex workers in the justice system that many in the community have welcomed during an interview with the ABC's 7:30 report.
How did you feel when you found out that he had served two previous prison sentences for multiple sexual assaults, threats to kill, abductions, the whole thing, and for the last sentence, he served less than half of the maximum penalty for 16 counts and 5 victims?
I felt furious, and I'm still furious at it. Whenever I hear anybody say it, whenever I read it, it sends a disturbing message. This man is unrepentantly evil. He's been let off too many times by our justice system, and he's obviously a complete menace. And it sends out a really dangerous message to society, I think, if you do this. I mean, I'm aware that his previous victims in the previous case before Jill were sex workers, and I'll never be convinced that had nothing to do with the leniency of his sentence, which, as I said, sends a very disturbing message. What it says to women is, you know, be careful what you do, because if we don't like what you do, you won't get justice. And then what it says to people like Bailey is, not don't rape, but be careful who you rape.
In other news, sex workers in Australia are celebrating last week's decision handed down by the United States Supreme Court, which struck down the notorious anti-sex work pledge for HIV/AIDS prevention organisations. Janelle Fawkes, the CEO of Scarlet Alliance, the Australian Sex Workers Association, says this is a long-awaited shift in US policy, which will be welcomed by sex workers and sex worker organisations all around the world. Scarlet Alliance recognises the important work of sex workers and their partner organisations in challenging this oppressive, retrograde and unconstitutional policy. The 2003 pledge, originally introduced as a national security presidential directive by George W. Bush, meant that any organisation receiving funding for HIV prevention through the President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief must explicitly oppose sex work. The pledge eliminated organisations from funding who do important health promotion work, including sex worker organisations. It also excluded sex worker civil society organisations from playing a central role in their country's response to HIV, seriously reducing the effectiveness of HIV prevention efforts. Fawkes says the experience in Australia demonstrates the success of sex worker involvement in HIV prevention. Australia's national strategies on HIV and STIs note the incidence of HIV and STIs in sex workers in Australia is exceptionally low. This is the result of sex worker peer education delivered by sex worker community-based organisations and sex workers implementing safer sex practices with their clients.
Thanks to the Vixen Hour, that was tonight's edition of Sex Work News. To keep up to date with the show, connect to our Facebook page, facebook.com/sexworkerradio.
So there's been a couple of positive developments for sex workers, both at home and internationally. So the first story there talked about Adrian Bailey, who murdered Jill Maher, and her husband actually speaking to the ABC about how he felt about that sentencing, and not only how he felt about the sentencing that came down on the day, but his previous sentencing and what actually led him to be on the streets at the time.
So is he your hero now, Tom Meagher?
I think it's... When I saw that interview, I was absolutely surprised. Like, not only was his language and the way he talked about sex workers, like, really supportive, but, like, he's, you know, to be in that level of grief, and obviously, you know, he's had a really distressing time, he was still able to be absolutely compassionate and generous.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah. So, and you don't see that often in the media.
No, it really gobsmacked me because not only do you not see it from the media, but we never hear it from the general public.
No.
You know, especially who's someone who's been violated like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, I mean, I guess not only is sentencing like a big issue for sex workers, particularly when issues of sexual assault do come up, but things like, you know, just engaging with the police and the justice system itself is a challenge for sex workers. I'm wondering what you guys think of that.
One of the stereotypes is if you're a sex worker, you need to, in quotes, accept that part of your job is violence, which is something we strongly resist.
Yeah.
But that perception is out there in the general community, and those sentences prove that.
Yeah, it's a really sad state of affairs when stories like that happen, because it's like it goes to show, you know, when you hear sort of things like stats on like sexual assault and rape and how a very small proportion of actual victims do come forward, and that's victims who may not necessarily be sex workers either, just the level of stigma stigma that sex workers have to bear is even greater than that. Mm-hmm. So it does sort of, I'm hoping like discussions like that and interviews like that actually bring to the public consciousness, you know, the issues around the discrimination that sex workers do face.
That was what was so beautiful about what he said.
Yeah.
Other so-called straight people got to hear it too.
Yeah.
It wasn't coming from a sex worker for once.
Yeah, yeah. And it's, you know, I don't know if he's engaged in sex worker organisations in the past, but I was amazed by, you know, how respectful he was, even though he was going through a really hard time himself.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Awesome man.
Yeah. The other story that got brought up there was the review of PEPFAR. So that's, I'm so going to get this wrong. It's the Presidential Emergency. It's funding for AIDS relief, basically. And so basically the United States has all of this aid money that they can issue internationally, but it does come with a number of conditions. And I think one that people may be aware of in the early 2000s was if people were going to receive this money, they had to not support certain things that the United States had a moral stance against. So when it first came out, they actually had a clause in there that, you know, organizations receiving this aid money couldn't support abortion. So all of these, it was a way of, I guess, exporting a sort of moralistic policy onto the rest of the world. And the second part that was recently struck down last week was the what was called the Anti-Prostitution Pledge. And that basically said, as that news story said, was, you know, if an organization receives this funding, they have to be explicitly opposed to sex work, which is...
Well, not just support it, have to actually say opposed. They don't like...
Yeah.
You
know,
that's,
which
yeah.
is, yeah, it's a bit scary. And when I first heard... I mean, this is a really great development that the United States has decided to make this change. Mm. And I think mm-hmm. sex workers around the world are celebrating that.
Yep.
But I remember hearing stories like 10 years ago that there were countries in South America, like Brazil, had knocked back its funding. It's millions of dollars that they knocked back and said, look, we're not going to criminalize our sex workers. You know, they recognize that sex workers were part of the solution. They're not part of the problem.
Yay and for Brazil.
Yeah.
Yay.
So really forward thinking at the time. But since then, there hasn't been much movement until this court case has happened where, they actually ruled that that this clause was an attack of the First Amendment, so freedom of speech.
Yeah.
So it's been like 10 years since that clause has been around, but it's nice that they've actually reviewed that.
Yeah, things are changing over there in a big way.
Yeah, hopefully.
When's our government going to get with
it? Well, sex work is still highly criminalised in the United States as well.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
I mean, yes, this has been a really good public acknowledgement of, I guess, the human rights of sex workers around the world, but there's still a long way to go in individual countries.
Yep.
You are listening to The Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. If you would like to take part in the conversation, you can do so by sending us a text message on 0427 569 949, or you can call the front desk on 1300 Joy 949. Just like Andre from East St Kilda did, he said he was a sex worker in Cairns until about eight years ago. He was the only male worker listed in the papers, and he sees his work as a public service. He notices that there are currently no male sex workers in Cairns, and going back there for a few days before he goes overseas for a holiday. Thanks for calling in, Andre. It's awesome to hear from you. Male sex workers are a little bit, well, they're not as visible female sex workers, and for a whole range of reasons. But I think that's a topic for a whole other
Vixen
Hour. I'm currently talking to a few people around maybe having like focusing on male sex work. So
right.
We do focus on a different topic here every week, and that's one of the ones that may be coming up in the very near future, hopefully.
Right. And what about heterosexual?
Oh, that's
there's another unicorn to throw in the
other kettle of fish.
Yeah.
You are on the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
You're listening to The Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9.
You are listening to the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. You're with Christian, and I'm joined by the fabulous Rani.
Hi.
And the fabulous Chloe.
Oh, fabulous. Hi.
I need a thesaurus. I ran out of adjectives. My brain just failed. If you would like to text in and join in on the conversation, you can do so by sending us a message on 0427 569 949. That's 0427 Joy 949, or sending us an email at onair@joy.org.au. We've also got Robert on the front desk, and you can call him on 1300 Joy 949. Call him now. So the topic for tonight's show is sex work and drug use. So I think a lot of people have this automatic assumption that if somebody is a sex worker, it's one of the first questions that comes up: are you doing it for the drugs?
Yes.
And so this stereotype does exist out there. I'm wondering what you guys make of that stereotype. Like, do you think it's true? Do you think it's unfounded?
Oh, no way.
So, I know, yeah.
So not true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In my case, I know it's definitely not true.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah. And so what do you sort of base that on?
The stereotype?
Yeah. Well, firstly, the stereotype, but why you think it's not true, just in your experience.
Okay. I get a lot of people telling me that there must be a lot of workers on the heroin, mm-hmm. or something. That is a drug I have used. Mm-hmm. But the most interesting thing about it is I never developed a habit on heroin until I was only doing community work.
Wow.
So that is a stereotype that kind of gets blown out of the water for me, because I didn't touch sex work at that time.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was quite surprised at how much heroin use doesn't go on amongst sex workers. Seriously, I must admit, when I came into the field, I thought the stereotype that people were doing it for drugs, and it's just not heroin. If you're going to pick a drug, it would be an upper, not a downer. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I've chosen in the past. Like, when I've used, I don't use at work, but when I do, it's simply to stay awake.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And
you're like a truck driver.
Yeah, but they don't try and remove the whole trucking industry, do they?
No, that's right. And so that's the other thing. So a lot of people use that sort of stereotypical image of, sex workers, who are sort of desperate and need money for drugs. I mean, that is a stereotype, but a lot of people use that stereotype as a way to argue against the industry. But there are other industries where, drug use is
probably just more prevalent, like the hospitality.
Jinx.
Not that we're stereotyping
those people,
but it's true. I mean, like, drugs, if you look at sort of things like I guess the National Drug Household Survey, that calls up 10,000 random houses to ask them about drug use, you find that drug use is pretty up there. So a lot of the research sort of points to, there's drug use everywhere in every industry.
And sex work and drug use is not something that goes hand in hand, unless you want to put drug use with every other career that there is out there. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah, and I think if you look at sort of some of the other data that's out there, so there was a study by the Kirby Institute called the LASH Report, which is Laws and Sex Worker Health, and one of the questions they did ask was around drug use. And I also sort of took a table from the Private Lives study, which is a survey of the GLBTI community and their health, and one of the issues that they focused on was drug use. And when you compare the two tables, there's some drug use that is very prevalent in the GLBTI community that isn't so much in sex workers. So according to the Private Lives study, they had a response rate of like 24.2% of respondents say that they had used marijuana in the past 12 months, where in the LASH study, there was only something like 16.4%.
So what does that insinuate? That gay people don't smoke pot?
Or sex workers smoke pot less than the GLBTI community.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Yeah, but I think it's while there's a lot of money and effort into researching this stuff, how helpful do you think it is? Like,
well, I don't know, because I've never been asked these questions.
Yeah.
And I wonder who does get asked these questions. When you look at surveys, if they're attached to a service, those people are having issues in the beginning.
Yeah.
They're answering the surveys.
That's right.
There's this whole hidden population of drug users that
are doing okay and actually steer away from services, so you'd never get to hear their voices.
Yeah, that's certainly true for a lot of research that I've read, particularly with sex workers. Like, if you read the methodology, the way that they recruit participants is they go through a service.
Yeah.
And quite often, if you're going through a service, your sample is really of a bunch of service users as opposed to actual...
sex workers.
Yeah, community members. Who, like, for, you know, I mean, not every single person engages with a service, like, you know, so if you only went through a service, it does provide a very skewed, I guess, perspective of that community. So yeah, whenever I sort of read that research, I'm very wary.
Yeah. Me too, Christian.
Yay. So, but funnily enough, the most used drug in the sex industry, according to the Law and Sex Worker Health Report, is tobacco.
I reckon coffee would be up there as well.
I think so too.
They haven't included it.
Yeah. That's a bit disappointing. No one ever recognises coffee, though. No. So there's always this
It's actually the highest selling drug in the world.
Yeah, and when and when you think of like how many taxable. And when you think of how many people actually feel like they can't function without having their morning coffee.
Yeah, that's right.
It's like, is this dependent use? But having said that, I think people who, like we were talking about before, some people, you know, take drugs to stay awake at work or whatever, be it hospitality or truck driving or sex work. You know, people don't consider, you know, having that morning coffee like the same thing. Like, no. They don't relate the two things.
I think some people are really touchy when something's illegal.
Yeah.
Like, they don't bother investigating anything into that. It's a no-go zone because it's illegal. They shouldn't be doing it. It's wrong.
Mm.
And also, with surveys too, with it being illegal stuff, a lot of people aren't honest as well.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
you've got to remember that.
Yeah, so I think it's really hard to, I guess, build a realistic picture of sex work and drug use. So as we do, like here on the Vixen Hour, what we try, I think the best thing you can do is actually listen to the voices of the people who are at the core of the issue. So on the Vixen Hour, we've been fortunate enough to put a radio show together that, you know, enables the broader community to have a dialogue with the actual voices of sex workers. It's very rarely that you can actually see, whether it be research or, you know, community services. I think there's a small movement that actually is inclusive of the voices of, say, drug users, but it's by no means a dominant voice. How do you guys feel about that?
I would say you're sort of in a double bind if you're a drug user and sex worker, because there's two discriminations working against you there.
Yeah, there's two layers of stigma battle.
I've been fortunate in that when people look at me, I don't typically, whatever that is, look like a drug user.
Yeah.
I don't typically, whatever that is, look like a sex worker.
Yeah. And I find that, you know, whenever I get in front of, say, like a uni class, because I do a bit of guest lecturing on the side, you know, a moonlight. but I will do things like, you know, disclose, like, you know, a history of injecting drug use. And people are shocked.
Like, that's right.
Because
you don't match the stereotype.
Exactly. And it's like, well, you know, there's people from all walks of life use a whole range of drugs. And, you know, the stereotype, the only thing a stereotype does is it actually makes you blind to what the reality of
That's
the situation
right.
is. Which is why we do have a radio show that does try to challenge those stereotypes and make your opinion about sex work an informed one. You are listening to the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. When we come back, we'll be talking about, we've talked about sex work as sex work and drug use in sort of this academic, conceptual way, but we'll hear from the actual lived experience of sex work and drug use. You're on the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9.
A voice for sex workers. The Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9.
You are listening to the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. You're with Christian and I'm joined by the lovely Rani.
Hey.
And the wonderful Chloe.
Oh, I'm not fabulous now, but hi, how are you?
Yeah, you've moved down. It's gone light. No, I'm kidding. You're still fabulous.
Oh, thank you.
We are talking all about sex work and drug use, and we sort of were talking about, you know, the ideas and stereotypes and, I guess, the way that drug use and sex work is conceptualized by the broader community. But I thought one of the things that we do here at the Vixen Hour is talk from personal lived experience. So you're hearing from the actual voices of sex workers ourselves. And the reason I've brought in the fabulous Chloe and Rani is that, as Rani was speaking about in the last segment, is that we all have some sort of experience with drug use, but we all also work in the community sector in drug and alcohol for different services. So I think our perspective is a quite diverse, comprehensive one. Mm-hmm. And I thought these guys were particularly well informed to talk about this subject. And anything that we do say here is not sort of, you know, we don't condemn or condone drug use or illegal activity, but, you know, we're having this conversation for the purposes of sharing information, building understanding, and challenging a lot of those stereotypes and misconceptions around two very sensitive community issues. So, sex work and drug use, there's two different, we talked about two different layers of stigma there for you guys. And I think we've all experienced that on a particular level. So whether it's walking into a workspace that may not be drug user friendly, if we like, or you know, into another service that may not particularly be sex worker friendly.
Yeah.
I think, you know, those stigmas do come up. Do you guys find those issues a challenge in your own lives?
Major.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is why I really like the fact that I can get away with not looking like either.
Yeah.
I can hide those identities when it's needed.
Mm-hmm.
When it really pisses me off is when I need to talk about my drug use with,
yeah,
say, a doctor who's, mm-hmm, treating me for something that,
yeah,
might be relevant to them. Because, mm-hmm, as soon as they know you're a sex worker, well, you're just written off.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the cause of your drug use. I've had that before. It's like, oh, maybe,
yeah,
you should stop working.
That's working. Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's such a stereotype because,
yeah,
like I was saying before, you know, I use lots and all sorts of drugs and have done for different reasons all over throughout the years.
Mm-hmm.
To say that I'm doing sex work so I can do my drug use is totally wrong.
Yeah.
You know, I've used drugs when I'm not in the sex industry.
Yeah.
And I think it's no different to any of the reasons why anyone in the general community would use drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, when you go to any job and you get paid, you know, there's no stipulation on what you spend your money on.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, I go to work, you know, in the community sector and get money and, you know, I do that to live, and I go to work in the sex industry and get money, and I do that to live as well.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, and it's not like, you know, oh, this is like, you know, this is my, you know, drug money, and this is my, like, my food money. It's like, well, it's kind of the same. It's the same money.
And it's the same person. It's not like the sex worker in me is the one that's using the drugs.
Yeah.
It's me who's,
yeah,
using the drugs.
Yeah, and I think one of the conversations that I think is skipped over a lot is, like, you sort of alluded it to it there, Rani, is that people take drugs for all different reasons.
Mm.
Like, it might be to, I don't know, to stay awake, like we've talked, to be alert.
Do you know, especially with heroin use, I find working at the drug and alcohol centre,
mm-hmm,
and as well as working in parlours or wherever I've worked in the sex industry, in my experience, I think the people who are dependent, mm-hmm, on heroin and have kind of chaotic lifestyles,
mm,
are not usually sex workers,
yeah,
for starters,
yeah,
at work.
As you were talking, it sort of made me think of, you know, not all sex workers look the same.
That's right.
And not all, yeah, drug users look
the same.
I think,
right,
sort of broadly speaking, in the community's mind, a drug user sort of lives a particular life and looks a particular way.
That's right.
When in fact, drug users, like, live in all sorts of, come from all sorts of backgrounds and do all sorts of jobs,
Yeah, if you look at the three of us, we're all three of us are sex workers. Mm-hmm. All three of us work in drug and alcohol.
Yeah.
And all three of us look very, very different.
Yeah. So,
you know, it's why pigeonhole it?
It's not at all helpful.
No.
And I think
it's not, especially when they're making laws that are based on stereotypes. Like, absolutely. For example, you can't have a liquor license in a brothel.
Yeah, that's right. You're not allowed to say
why not?
Right. I don't know. I was having this conversation with a friend of mine who was around when those laws came in. And it was very much, there was this idea that, oh, it will keep sex workers, and when they say sex workers, what they mean is women.
Women, yeah, usually.
It'll keep women safer if you don't serve alcohol at sex work.
Oh, because men become violent and aggressive.
Those violent men, they go to the pub and get totally smashed, and then they turn up at the parlour.
Yeah.
And expect someone's going to want to see them.
Yeah, which is bizarre.
Isn't it bizarre?
Unattractive. Yeah. Oh,
yeah. And this idea that if you don't serve alcohol in a particular venue, that nobody's going to turn up intoxicated.
Oh, so, no, isn't that insane?
So, yeah. and you can't, I've heard sort of anecdotal reports of like people getting, like the paranoia around alcohol in the sex industry is so high that somebody actually received a fine for having a slab in the boot of their car that was parked in the car park of their workspace.
No, I've heard bizarre stuff like that. Yeah. You know, at Christmas time, giving out bottles of wine. I can't give it to you on the premises. You have to come out on the footpath for me to hand it to you. Hello.
It's absolutely paranoid. And it's like, what do they think we're going to do?
Yeah.
What do they think is going to happen? But
well, I suppose they think we'll see anyone.
Yeah. Again, another very
we're desperate, you know.
Very unhelpful stereotype.
You know, but I can't believe how many people out there think that working girls mainly, I only speak for women because that's me, but you know, that if someone pays, we have to see them we have to. And then the men that think they pay and they can just do what they want.
Yeah. You know? Well, that's right. So there's this idea that, you know, a sex worker will do anything and see anyone, where I know a lot of workers who would refuse to see somebody who presents as intoxicated.
That's right.
However, having said that, I'm not one of those workers. And I guess, you know, being a part of communities where, you know, where drug use may be a bit higher than the general population, and actually having relationships like friendships and, you know, knowing drug users as I do, I know what the behaviour is like, and I'm able to make a decision around my safety when seeing somebody who may or may not be intoxicated. And I think sex workers do that. There's always a sense of safety, because, I mean, you know, you have to work in a quite often an unfamiliar, for me, because I'm independent private escort, and I'm working in an environment that I'm not familiar with. You know, I'm going to the client's house or a hotel room. I already have this sort of heightened, I guess, consciousness around my own personal safety. So to have a law telling me, you know, what I can and can't do is a bit ridiculous. And when, you know, so seeing clients who may or may not be intoxicated, I sort of make my own decision around what I'm comfortable with. How is it for you guys?
Yeah, I don't know about you, Ronnie, but you know, I actually at my age, I have to let the ones with the beer goggles, because they find me very attractive. But no, seriously, you know, if a bloke can't stand up, you know, really,
he's not going to get it up.
Yeah,
no, and you know, it can be difficult in the room with the fella, whether he's drunk or even if he's on, you know, coke or amphetamines and or Viagra or any of those things, and you know, you can't make them come or whatever. It's just, yeah, it can get very frustrating. So, you know, also parlours that won't let the guys in if they're presenting as really, really intoxicated.
Yeah.
But, you know,
I find it interesting when you sort of said that. It's not necessarily safety per se, but it's sort of other behavioural things that make an impact on your decision.
Yeah, exactly. So,
yeah, and certainly, I know, like, drunk clients, they're just hard work.
They are. Unless they're really drunk and they go to sleep.
Just go to sleep.
You know.
Yeah, and then I'm really good.
Bonus.
You are listening to The Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. The time is 5 minutes to 12. We'll be coming back to wrap up and tell you what's going to be happening next week here on The Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. You are on The Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. You have been with Rani.
Hey.
And Chloe.
Hey.
And Christian. Hey. We have been talking about drug use and sex work, but unfortunately we have come to the end of the show.
That went way too fast.
Yeah, it does, always. If people are experiencing issues of drug and alcohol and would like to access a service, we highly recommend calling Direct Line, and that you can find that in the sort of community directory on the Joy website on joy.org.au. Thank you for joining me in the studio, Chloe and Rani.
Thank you very much for having me.
So much more to say, though.
I know. As we do every week, I feel like we scrape the surface.
Yeah.
We just don't explore it enough. But to keep this conversation going, you can you can stay connected to The Vixen Hour by liking our Facebook page at facebook.com/sexworkerradio. You can also follow us on Twitter at Vixen Hour. But in the meantime, we do have some special announcements to make. So next week on the show, we will be continuing our series on the ins and outs of a particular type of sex work. And next week, we'll be focusing all on brothel work. Hooray!
Yay!
I'm hoping to get a bit of an education, because being a male sex worker, there isn't the opportunity to work in a brothel here in Victoria at the moment. Boo. Well, there is, but it's like, you know, there's one brothel.
One.
So, you know, my options are highly limited. So I will be looking forward to a very informative and interesting conversation then. But also, this is the last time that we will be broadcasting at 11 p.m. Boo.
Yeah.
Because we have moved out of the graveyard shift. Next week, we will be broadcasting from 9 p.m.
Got a promotion.
Yeah. The new winter grid starts on the 1st of July, which is next week. And we will be starting at our brand new time of 9 p.m. on Monday night. So from now on, we'll be presenting from 9 p.m. every Monday night here on Joy 94.9. Look, thank you, Rani and Chloe, for joining me in the studio today for tonight's show.
No problem.
And we will catch you next week. You've been on The Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9.
A voice for sex workers. The Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.